The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening. We've got a full hour of nonstop hardcore Bears discussion, as well as some other things going on around the National Football League alongside Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you along. You can tweet us questions using the hashtag CBNetwork. You can also call us up at 312-644-6767. Don't forget, a little bit later on in the hour, we will play Ask Tom. Rapid fire phone calls. You ask Tom, you just fire away, ask him anything you want to know about the world of football and the Bears specifically. And the best caller during that segment gets an opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So a lot on the line a little bit later on here on the show. But, you know, before we start getting into all the big NFL stories of the week, you were at Hallis Hall earlier this week. Got a chance to talk to a lot of different people. What's the latest going on with the Bears?
You know, everything is progressing in the direction ultimately to win the Super Bowl. With that being said, it's in the initial stages of off-season two for the Mark Trestman era. And, you know, last year when they came here, they had an organized calendar of attack and how are they going to face each day all the way up into the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they didn't go to the playoffs, so their off-season preparation started a little early. You get the chance to evaluate everything. You get to evaluate how you coach. They went over all 400 runs, all 600 passes, each performance of every player and how it factored in the success or failure of the play. So with that being said, then you got the strict evaluation of all the players that you have in front of you. And then it's the process of putting together the calendar of how you're going to lay down the information to all these guys in order to allow them to have the maximum amount of time to get all their personal obligations done and make sure they have the maximum amount of time to be on the field learning and in the classroom digesting more information. And I think it's an unbelievable opportunity for when the players do come to work to look at that calendar in front of them and now how to organize their time. If anybody ever says, look, we're caught off guard, I didn't know this was going on, oh, I had some, you know, personal things factor in the week, that's not the escape anymore, because these coaches have an exhaustive amount of time making sure they have everything organized so everything benefits the players to be their best.
How much do you think what happened in the postseason, watching the other teams play, seeing how the Seahawks were able to dominate and win the championship, and we always get told that it's a copycat league, how much of what the Seahawks were able to do will be incorporated into what happens at Hallis Hall this offseason?
You know, I mean, you know, it's hard to say because you don't have the same talent as Seattle. The Bears had to make sure they organized their talent in the right direction, and they did that early with Jay Cutler, Matt Slauson, Tim Jennings, and started getting a core of these guys that are going to be there on day one and really being able to take a leadership role. That's the key element here, is making sure you're getting the Bears ready to be the best of Bears football team. And like I said, getting the offense pointed in the right direction, having a guy like Tim Jennings and his influence on this team. So that has started. Again, now it's going to take the evaluation of unrestricted free agents, the combine talent, what you need specifically to fit into your football team and how they fit according to your plan of attack. And Phil did say it's going to be defensive heavy at the beginning of this offseason. So I think that's what a lot of Bears fans are looking forward to.
Is there a specific style of defense that the Bears need to play?
Aggressive. I just think you need to find the style of player that you can put into a position that's going to succeed repeatedly. I think if you just set your sights on one style of defense only, you're going to limit the athletes you're looking at. If you see a guy that crosses your eyes, crosses your desk, and you see out there in the combine, and you're saying, this guy is magnificent, we need to get him on the team and find the way to build a scheme around him, sometimes those guys stand out too.
Because the thing that I look at, and it was very evident in the Super Bowl, really evident throughout watching, especially the NFC version of the playoffs, whether it was the Seahawks, the 49ers, the Panthers, you have to get after the quarterback.
Yes. Well, you know, Peyton Manning is a stationary quarterback. He is going to drop back and set up in the exact same spot every time. Now, if you have one of the six, seven, or eight guys in the front of the Seattle defense win their battle every play, then they're going to disrupt the flow of a quarterback that's stationary. So, yeah, you look at the movement of the quarterbacks of the Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, the Carolina guy.
Cam Newton.
These guys run. They're so athletic. You know, that's what stands out. But again, when you look at Seattle's defense, if you're going to face a stationary target like Peyton Manning, one of those great defenders off that team is going to win. So maybe that's what you're out there. You're trying to find that guy that really captures your attention.
Were you able to meet with some of the new coaches on the staff, or at least find out about them by talking to people up at Halas Hall? Because there are a lot of new faces up there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in Paul Pasqualoni. You know, they brought in Clint Hurt. They brought in guys that have experience both with 4-3 defenses and 3-4 defenses.
Right. You know, I haven't had any personal one-on-one conversations with any of the new defensive coaches. I think the best thing for us to do is when we go to OTAs and we go to training camps is listen to those defensive coaches coach. For the first week before you introduce yourself, you want to talk to them, listen to them coach. And then you understand what type of style that they're going to give. Are they going to be aggressive in your face? Are they going to be a corrective style after every play is run? And I think that's when you learn a little bit about the coaches. Then you go and you try to have a conversation about them. And so, again, it's going to be an exciting time to look at the influences they have on the defense, because there's going to be a lot of new personnel in there fighting for jobs.
The Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's, is here. Members have access to events, contests, opportunities to meet Bears players, chances to win Bears tickets, free pizza, and much more. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So the Bears made some moves from an offensive standpoint on their coaching staff this week. Pat Meyer has been elevated to offensive line coach, meaning Aaron Cromer is just going to be the offensive coordinator now, but he's not your average offensive coordinator, and Pat Meyer isn't your average offensive line coach.
Right. Aaron's still going to be heavily involved with the offensive line, the development of new talent, the development of the scheme overall, and then how you see your future opponents. Pat Meyer is a heck of a really respected offensive line coach, and he needs the title of offensive line coach. He's well-respected in the locker room, on the practice field, the way he's been able to take young guys and speed up their process, and that's a key element. But you speed up their process to be able to come in and compete, but now being able to do it week in and week out for 16 weeks, those guys lining up and making sure they understand their assignments from one week to another, because you're playing in some really crappy conditions, you're playing on Thursday nights, you know, there's a lot of different scheduling that Pat and Aaron together really help form that offensive line.
Can a martial arts master make the Bears better? We'll discuss next. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are just a few moments away here on the show from playing Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. And that's a segment in which we go rapid fire with the phone calls. You get an opportunity to ask Tom anything you want about the world of football, and the best caller in that segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So it's pretty cool stuff that we've been doing this offseason. You go to Hawaii next week.
Yes, I do.
So that'll be fun.
We're going to be in two different locations. You still don't – you lose the Chicago Bears website, the information, the ability to watch the Combine now on TV. So we're at two different distances, but you don't lose – the information.
I'll be in Indy for the Combine a week from today. Both Phil Emery and Mark Trestman will address the media for the first time since their end of the year press conference.
Right.
So we'll get an opportunity to get a little bit of a better idea in terms of what they're at least willing to say publicly about the direction of the franchise heading into free agency and the potential types of players that they're looking at, as well as all these new coaching hires and why they made the decisions they made.
Right, and Mark in year two, and Phil in year two. There's a lot of brand new things that they had to do for the first time last year that's all behind them. They don't have to make those re-decisions. So Phil has always been a great talker in front of the media, and so has Mark Trestman. I'm interested to hear what they have to say because, you know, the emotional letdown of that last regular season game was hard for all of us to overcome. Every Bears fan, whether you like them or you don't. In emotionally speaking, within the first couple days after that, it's kind of hard to put everything in perspective. But now, a couple months after the fact, and like I said, Mark and his staff being able to watch the 600 passes and the 400 runs on tape and get an evaluation of talent improvement, I'm interested to hear both of them speak.
All right, I want to know what the deal is with the martial arts master that they've brought in to the coaching staff, a guy by the name of Joe Kim. What does that mean for the Bears? What is he there for?
Everything, all fundamentals and techniques in football, especially blockers and stuff, it's hands and feet. And it's the coordination of the efforts of hands and feet to be able to do it with objective to it. Where when your hand movement and your hand fighting, you're trying to accomplish something. A defensive lineman, if they're doing an arm over or an arm under, if they're doing an under rip, that's just movements of your hands and your shoulders trying to defeat an offensive lineman. I think the speed of hand placement can be properly taught by someone who understands martial arts. And again, positive reinforcement to offense and defensive linemen is what the coaches have to do every day. We as offense and defensive linemen, we can lose our confidence quick. But if you have a coach that can go out there and constantly positively reinforce the techniques you're using every day in practice in the games, then they become easier. You're going to become a better player. So, hey, I'm all for if you can adjust the hands and feet of any football player to make them a better out there.
And this isn't a new concept. This is something, for example, Kyle Long trains with our good friend Jay Glazer out in California during the offseason, and he works a lot on those MMA types of moves, which involve, just like you said, you know, the ability to quickly move your feet and those hand punches.
No training is bad. No activity that you're doing out there to make you a better conditioned athlete, to put some thought process in your mind of maybe something that will come up in an instant on the field that you don't even know what happened. Everything is good. Activity is good. After when I was playing, the first month after that I was working out was racquetball, light weightlifting, treadmill, just things that were fun and activated your body. And I think if you can bring in a guy that can allow Kyle Long and Jordan Mills to have a more focused attention to their hand punch, ultimately they're going to be better offensive linemen.
I want to hit something that Jerry Angelo has been in the news lately because of something that he wrote about Jay Cutler, giving his take on all the quarterbacks in the NFL. He started ranking them, but specifically in regards to Jay Cutler, because let's start with the point that the Bears led the NFC in points scored last season. Only the Broncos put more points on the board last season than the Bears. So I think that's pretty remarkable when you consider that it was the first year within the framework of this offense and Cutler didn't even play every single game. But what Angelo had to say, among the different things in regards to grading Cutler, he is, quote, inconsistent in the clutch, quote, lack of poise, quote, not comfortable reading defenses, quote, better half-field general than a full field one. When you heard these comments, what was running through your mind?
I disagree with them because I looked where he put Cam Newton in his rankings and he put him like 4 or 5 or some ridiculous number. And so and it's something, you know, Jerry was the part of the process that drafted Jay Cutler. I think if you want to write an evaluation like this about Jay Cutler up until this point, and that's what Jerry's knowledge is in, I think it's because crappy coaching. I don't think Jay ever had an offensive coordinator that allowed him to understand and taught him the game to go out and be as effective as he was this season. When you go back and you look at some of the offensive coordinators he's had outside of the beginning with Mike Shanahan when he was just trying to build an NFL quarterback, he's never had a quality offensive coordinator. Go look at the guys who coached him here and up until this point. Right now, at this point in Jay Cutler's career, he's having the opportunity to be coached in a system by a couple of guys, Matt Kavanaugh included with Mark Trestman and the rest of the system, that's really starting to show Jay scratched the surface of his talent. To put him ranked 15th in this, and the names that he put in front of him, I think that's kind of insulting to Jay, and you don't take in consideration of quality coaching he's finally getting.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here, because there are some people that will say, well, you know, Jay is not a young quarterback anymore at this stage of his career. Can you get better as an NFL quarterback in your 30s?
I don't think you start getting to that level of where you can really reach as an NFL quarterback until this age. You need to have the experiences. You need to have success and failure. You need to see multiple systems. And then all of a sudden, you get the perfect storm. You have a coach that's explaining things to you so thoroughly that you're understanding every detail about it. And then you got a nice compliment of Josh McCown, who's helping Jay become a better quarterback in the meetings, along with Matt Kavanaugh. And then you got the weapons. You bring receivers in here like Alshon Jeffery, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte. And then you got guys like Marquise Wilson waiting in the wings. Now you're starting to see the fruits of the labor of being a developed quarterback in the NFL.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, it's on. Are you ready? We're going to play Ask Tom. Here's how we play. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go right to you, and we come back. We go rapid fire with your phone calls. You get a chance to ask Tom anything you want to know about the Bears and the NFL. A lot of news this week, stuff that we haven't even talked about yet, which we will, and maybe we'll start with your phone calls. And the best caller in our next segment wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. If you want to tweet us questions, because there's certain people that are a little shy, they don't want to talk on the phone.
Tweet up.
So tweet up. All you have to do is use the hashtag CB Network so I can actually see the questions. It makes it very difficult if you don't use the hashtag there, CB Network. Ready to play Ask Tom?
Yeah, let's bring them.
If you're listening to the show for the first time, first off, where have you been? And a reminder that for just about every Thursday, the rest of the way during the offseason, we're going to be talking Bears football from 6 to 7. On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We have not had a bad call, a bad question, you know, even with Jim and I last week. Since we've been doing this, we have not had a bad question.
What he's talking about is Ask Tom. It's your chance to ask Tom anything you want to know about the world of football at 312-644-6767. So for the next 10 minutes, we're going to be taking your phone calls. We're going to grade you. And then at the end of the segment, best caller wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. You ready?
Rock and roll.
All right, let's begin. 312-644-6767. Ask Tom begins with Bob in Crystal Lake.
Hey, Bob.
Aloha, Tommy.
How you doing?
Good, good. My question is, do you buy the hype of the Seattle defense versus the 85 Bears defense, or do you find it to be just a typical overreaction by the sports media? Desperation to make a story.
I think Seattle had a great defense. I really didn't. I even thought leading up to the game that they were going to have a great opportunity to get at Peyton Manning. But I think there's similarities. Listen to what I'm going to say. In the athleticism of Peyton Manning and Tony Eason and Steve Grogan, I don't think there's any guys out there that are going to beat anybody in the 40. So Seattle had a stationary target, a great thinking quarterback in Peyton Manning to get at. And they beat him, you know, from the very first snap of the game when they had a misinterpretation of the snap count. In the 85 defense, they played against a stationary target, and they were scared in Tony Eason and Steve Grogan. But I do think both defenses are so ferocious up front that if you put a 7- and 8-man front, they're both unblockable. I do think one of the 8 guys is going to win their blocking scheme and get into the quarterback. So I'm impressed with Seattle, but also, we had the number one offense in the league in 1985, so it was different because they kept comparing Seattle going against the number one offense and Peyton Manning, but we had the number one offense, which was a great assistance to our defense because we had such a great time of possession.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on with Pat in Round Lake.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, Tom. My question is how come Jay Cutler specifically, and I'm noticing around the league, a lot of quarterbacks are moving away from the pump fake in terms of being able to freeze a safety and open up the outside, I'm very surprised. I can't recall a single pump fake from Jay Cutler. And your thoughts on that, please?
You know, Pat's a great question, because when you look at a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who does pump fake, and he's such a big guy and he's so sturdy, and he can either fake a rusher out of position, or his hands are big enough to hold onto the ball sturdy enough that it doesn't slip out of his hand, and it buys extra time for him. But with this offense that Jay's involved in the exact specificness of the timing of where the routes are going to open up, I don't think you have a lot of luxury of pump fakes unless you have a double move on the outside that you're going to try to go the distance with. Then maybe you kind of catch a rusher or a defender peeking in the backfield. But here, there's an exact decision to the conclusion of every route that Jay is filtering through his mind.
Ask Tom rolls
good question,
on your
Pat.
Questions for Tom Thayer. He answers best question, at least the one that I deem to be the best
yep.
question at the end of the segment. You will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Wakanda, Lee, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Lee.
Lee will not win the award
no.
for best question. Back out to the phones we go. JT in Melrose Park, you're on the score.
Hey, JT.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Great, great. My question is, do you think that Mel Tucker and the Bears are better suited for the 3-4 defense or the 4-3 defense for next year?
That's a good question. I think if I was going to look at the division and how was I going to face Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, and the developing offense in Minnesota, I would want to have a big, sturdy, you know, sort of like the Cleveland defense, because Cleveland came up and they could play the run as effectively as any defensive front in the league. But when they had to morph into a exotic pass rushing scheme to try to take advantage of inefficiencies on the offensive line, Cleveland was also able to do that. So I don't think you're going to be having one standard four-man rush where you got four down linemen and three linebackers every single time, because you don't have the luxury of having that personnel because of the personnel placements of the offenses you're going to face. So I want to see Mel Tucker have a defense that can change its fronts according to the opponents they're playing and what their assets are.
Where each week, if you're the opponent, you really don't know what you're going to see from the Bears defense.
Correct. You got to create that unexpected angle that's going to take Aaron Rodgers out of his comfort zone, put a little bit more pressure on Matthew Stafford and whatever's going to happen in Minnesota.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on. Algonquin, Vince, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Vince.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Zach. Hey, listen, last offseason we saw the Bears totally rebuild the offensive line. Can the same thing be done this offseason with the defensive line?
I think it can. It's got to be a combination of things where you got to go out there and you have to investigate the talent in the draft, whether it's a defensive end or an interior defensive lineman that's really going to come in and be productive from the start, i.e. Kyle Long. And then if you could have a guy that could factor in the rotation in the later part of the draft or free agency, like a Jordan Mills, and come in and be a factor. He doesn't have to be an every down starter. But what you need is you got to have amass an enthusiastic group of talent that are so competitive with each other in practice that you see the results in the game. But I do think it can happen, but it is going to take where you really hook the right draft choice.
312-644-6767. We continue Ask Tom with Colin in Davenport. Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Colin.
So I have some questions. Part of the reason why people said Urlacher, you know, was such a great middle linebacker with his ability to drop back to coverage, kind of create the field in third there with his speed and athleticism. However, with Bostic this year, I know he's kind of forced in that role a little early, but he has great speed. And you see, obviously, I'm not looking for overrunning gaps or missing tackles, but if he has that speed where a general manager can say he'd be suited to play on the weak side chasing plays from behind, what are those characteristics that in an inside linebacker in a 4-3 that one is looking for if it's not speed?
Well, you know, you got to be able to shed blocks, because every time that you're faced on an interior run and they run in the inside shoulders of the tackles about 70% of the time, you got to be able to disengage from the bigger blockers, the offensive guards and offensive centers and tackles that are coming to you, or be able to take an isolation block from a big time fullback or an H-back. And again, I think Jonathan Bostic has all the credibility to play on the outside or the inside, but now you're going to have to look at his instincts, and it's going to have to be a harsh harsh judgment because Jonathan Bostic has the skills to play at an extremely high level in the NFL. He has the desire to really deliver some big hits, but it's about the influence that the quarterback can have on him if he doesn't develop incredible defensive instincts.
One last caller here on Ask Tom before we give away a gift certificate to Sports Authority for the winner. We will end this with Jay on the West Side. Jay, ask
hey, Jay.
Tom.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Jay?
Doing well, thanks. I was wondering, with the situation in Cleveland, with them firing their head coach after 1 year, getting rid of their GM, and leaving the CEO position open, especially this close to the draft, and kind of doing everything, I guess, backwards, do you, as a player, Tom, as a former player, what are you thinking in this locker room, or what are you, you know, is this franchise scaring you about the future of your career?
Yes, you know, if I was a desperate free agent and that was my only option, I would go to Cleveland. I would be okay with it. But if I was a free agent and I had the opportunities to go around and kind of sell my talent to more than one team, I don't know if I would even consider Cleveland. And that's the key there, is if you can't have a positive message that's either spread from some of the unrestricted free agencies, even to the guys coming up in the draft, to the guys within that own locker room, if you don't have a positive message coming out of there, it's going to be hard to attract anything. And that's one of the things with the Bears. They've always had good message out of the locker room. They have a great facility up there that's very attractive to free agents, and that's the key ingredient, is making sure you have a positive message that's spilling over.
All right, got to pick a winner here on Ask Tom. Someone is coming away with a gift certificate, and there were a lot of good questions.
Bob, Pat, Lee, JT, Vince, Colin, and Jay.
I really liked the question from Pat about the pump fake and how it changes what teams do defensively, and I liked your answer even more, explaining the difference between...
offense that Jay Cutler and Mark Trestman is teaching, it's an exact. It's not really a pump fake, and like I said, unless it's an outside double move.
I like the question from Bob comparing the Seahawks defense to the Bears defense, because you know that defense better than anybody back in 85, but I'm going to go with JT from Melrose Park.
All right.
Between the 3-4 and 4-3 defenses, and which one works for the Bears better. And I also liked your answer about how you're not supposed to know what kind of defense the Bears are going to run. The NFL's morphed into a different kind of league now, and I don't think you necessarily have to have one specific defense
right,
in order to win.
Right, but it's just as important for the evaluation coach of your next opponent to identify the weakness. That's the key. Is up front, you got to find out what guy doesn't know his assignments, doesn't have the ability to withstand certain pressures.
And if you can do both, I think you increase your chances of being able to do that. So congratulations to JT in Melrose Park. You win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We'll play Ask Tom once again next week. But when we come back, if you still have questions for us, feel free to call at 312-644-6767. You can also tweet us questions, hashtag CB Network. I'm going to ask you about Michael Sam. That's the big story around the NFL this week. Still have not gotten your reaction to what you heard from him and from some people around the league. That's next here on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman along with Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can also tweet us questions using the hashtag CB Network. Before I get to the Michael Sam stuff, we are getting some questions here via Twitter, including this one from Austin Wright. Do you think the Bears should be moving Kyle Long to tackle?
That's a good question. Not right now. I think when you look inside the division, you look at some of the more powerful players, and Ndamukong Suh, Fairley, and the rest of the guys around the league, the big guys up in Green Bay, I think you need Kyle's intelligence and strength on the inside. If you're going to have a really impactful game, point of attack on the inside, Kyle's one of those bodies. Because not only does he can work well with Roberto Garza and Jordan Mills on each side of him, but he can also pull and get out in space and use his athleticism to be an impact puller when you need to face size or trap on the inside. So right now, allow Kyle to develop. And if he is that talented, his talent will take him to that direction.
I'm sure they'll use him in spots during practice at tackle occasionally. But every time I've talked to Aaron Cromer about this, the Bears offensive coordinator, he keeps pointing out, maybe you can explain this, about how you have to build an offensive line from inside out.
Correct. Well, I mean, you do, because you need to make sure you have stability on the inside, because if you – the closest spot to the quarterback to be disruptive is that defensive tackle position. If you're getting split in your double teams, if you don't have coordination in the direction of your pass protection, if you don't have identification of your proper assignment before the play ever starts, it's going to be so disrupted you're not going to have that choreographed flow to an offense. So a key ingredient, and I think the importance of Roberto Garza was understated, because yeah, Jay had to be the most intelligent player on that offense, but Roberto had to be the second most intelligent player on that offense because of the adjustments and the assignments and everything that was detailed in Jay calling the play.
Great point. And Roberto Garza is one of the Bears' free agents.
Yes,
and
he
they
is.
Have a whole bunch of them. If, for whatever reason, he's not back, how do you replace a guy like that? Because you're talking about another center, whether it's someone from the outside or someone from the inside, having to correctly identify the things that Roberto was already able to do.
That's the constant processes of the NFL, is you're going to have to replace players. Fortunately, you got Matt Slauson and Kyle Long with experience. Any center that they bring in there, whether it be Taylor Boggs, the backup center that they had this year, and more competition coming in, those two guys at each guard position, they understand the offense. They can accelerate the learning experience for the next center, if it's not Roberto, tenfold. But again, Roberto is a very important piece to the puzzle here.
Got another question here from HP. If Rod Marinelli had stayed with the Bears last season, do you think the Bears would have had a chance to win a championship? And I think, you know, Mel Tucker was criticized a ton by fans watching the Bears defense last year. But the criticism didn't start until the injury started to mount. And you can't ignore those two things.
You're right, because I think when you look at Henry Melton, Nate Collins, they had the player that left before training camp ever began,
Cedric Ellis.
And then I didn't get inspired play out of Julius Peppers or accelerated learning play by Shea McClellan. And I think Shea's time is still going to come. I think you got to exhaust every opportunity, stand him up, put him in a stance in the middle, on the outside, have him cover tight ends, whatever Shea it can do at the best, allow him to do that. But do I think Rod Marinelli would have brought this team to a world? No.
People forget Stephen Pio was playing well, probably his best football, until he hurt his toe in the first Detroit game, was never the same player since. And that forced them to move Corey Wooten inside, so you lost a productive defensive end. They had to bring in guys off the street or guys that didn't have a lot of experience.
It changes the rotation. Yeah. It changes the work process during the course of the week, because if Stephen Pye has an injured foot and he's not getting 250 to 300 reps during the preparation week, and now you're getting your 30 reps in the game, it's not the same. Your conditioning's not the same. Your push, your balance, the way you can fight off blocks. You need your feet.
You've played football all your life. You've been around the NFL as an adult all your life, as a player and now as a broadcaster. When you heard Michael Sam go public, and here's a guy who is an All-American, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, so you're not talking about a guy who stinks. This is a good player. This is a guy
Correct.
Who's going to get drafted during this upcoming draft. When you hear the reaction after he made his announcement, as a guy who's played this game and been around it your entire life, what was your reaction?
All right, my reaction as a football player, okay, that's the reaction I'm giving you. I don't care. When I came to the Chicago Bears, in 1984, they lost in the NFC Championship game, and then I came to the Bears as trying to earn a spot on this team. I cared about two guys, Jay Hilgenberg and Tom Andrews, because I came in here competing as a center. If I wasn't as good or better as one of these two guys, I'm not going to make the team. I don't know what anybody else is doing. I'm not concerned where they came from or what their preferences are in life. My deal is to make sure every practice I show up and I have to be better than Jay or Tom Andrews. And I wasn't better than Jay, and I knew it. So again, that puts me already behind. So I respect this young man for what he's done, because what he's going to do is he's going to save the lives of some confused kids out there that don't know how to answer this question. And here this kid came up, put himself in front of the cameras, and he's not making an admission of guilt. He's just telling you about himself. And when he goes to whatever team he's going to go perform against or try out for, it's only about the other players of the position he's competing against. It's not. It doesn't matter. No one else matters. And I think that's the key ingredient here, is go out and perform at a level that you get evaluated by your coaches and your staff that you earned a spot on that football team. That's the only thing that's important.
What does it say that he told his teammates at Missouri in August? They didn't go public with it. They kept his secret. They respected his wishes. And they were able, obviously, to perform at a very high level, and he was able to thrive. It shows that it can work.
Right. I think, first of all, it's a challenge to the maturity level of those college kids, which I respect incredibly, for all of those to respect this young man to keep it inside that house. And there's a lot of messages that go inside that locker room that never leave those doors that we're never going to be privy to, even in my times. Then again, it's all about your accomplishments on the football field, because that's the way you're going to be judged. And it's about your practice and your performance. And again, Mike Ditka always has a saying, he judges everything by ACE, attitude, character, and enthusiasm. That's the way he judges football players.
And his play will dictate whether or not he has an easy time in the NFL,
right.
Not the other stuff.
Right. I mean, it's going to be about how he performs after the ball is snapped.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, some of your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Also, some of your tweets, hashtag CB Network. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach and Tom here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can also tweet us, hashtag CB Network. All right, so the Combine is next week. As a guy who looks at the game a little bit differently now, because you're looking at all positions, you know what the Bears need. When you watch the workouts, because it's available to everybody right. On NFL Network next week, what are you looking for specifically, and what are the Bears looking for? Because they've spent the entire year, and then some, studying certain positions, certain players, to know exactly everything they need to know about those guys. So what are they using the combine for?
You know, the study has to be extensive, because I keep hearing about how this is the deepest draft in a long time, and you're going to be able to draft a starter in the third and fourth round. So you're going to have to evaluate every single player that's invited to the combine. And this is an incredible luxury for us as Bears fans, as football fans, because I already have a notion in my mind about a lot of these players, because I watch the Senior Bowl. I watch the Senior Bowl practices. I see the effort they get. I see a player that may be a little bit out of shape that has extended reps to see how quickly he falls off the edge of conditioning. Those are the things you pay attention to in the Senior Bowl week. And then you bring it to the combine. And having lived through those combines, I know what is expected of you as a player. So I need to see explosiveness out of your stance. And they all need to be explosive out of your stance, whether you're a wide receiver, defensive back, defensive tackle, tight end, whatever the case may be. And then you look at their gait. Is their athleticism? How do they run the 40? Do they look good as they complete it, or are they wobbling like it's a cone drill? And then you watch them go through the cone drills, and you look at their knee bend. You look at their hip bend. You look at their ability to change directions with what fluidity. And we've seen players like John Theory, for example, who was drafted out of Alcorn State, number one by the Bears years ago. He had incredible speed straight ahead, but he had no COD, no change of direction. So again, you can't get caught up in athleticism that's only one-dimensional. And again, for us that have had the luxury of watching the Senior Bowl, now watch these guys in more, you know, just shorts and those types of drills with a little bit more organized, you also get an indication of what they've done since the Senior Bowl to the Combine. Because, you know, Zach, it's such an eye test. If you don't come in there and you look like you've been conditioning yourself to impress every one of these scouts, that's an immediate kind of a hash above your head going, I don't know this guy's full commitment.
The other thing that the Combine is extremely valuable for is it's the first opportunity for the medical staff to get a hold of these players and find out what's wrong. Because everyone has, if you play football long enough, even at the college level, you're going to have things tweaked. You know, people have different kinds of surgeries, different kind of injuries that they've had to deal with. And not everyone at the collegiate level has the same level in terms of medical staff. And that comes across in these medical checkouts with all the different team doctors.
Right, and you're not going to volunteer the information. You're not going to go out there and say, oh, this hurts and this hurts. When I bend over, this creaks and all that kind of stuff. You're going to let them find out everything they need to find out. Fortunately, when I went to the combines, I was really healthy, so I didn't have to go through this serious evaluation period. But, man, some of the guys that I went through the combine with that had recent surgeries or things that affected their college career, man, they were evaluated, x-rayed, MRI'd, up and down. So, again, it is a process. It's a very strict evaluation of what they consider you to be healthy enough at that point to where you're going to fit in the draft. You know, and some players you take a chance on a little bit later, some you take on a little bit earlier. But, again, it's a really strict evaluation, and I think it's going to be exhaustive because of the depth of the draft.
And everyone knows how exhaustive Phil Emery is in terms of details, whether it's a press conference with the media, whether it's just watching him behind the scenes go about his work. He's always got that iPad with him taking notes about everything. When we come back, here's what I want to ask you, Tom. You've been through the process. What are these meetings like? That's what I want to know. What are these meetings like? When you get in the room with these teams, what's the silliest question you were asked, a question that you didn't have an answer for? And what did you stress out? Because you're a sweater to begin with, right? When you had to take the Wunderlich, I mean, that must have been tougher than any test you took at Notre Dame.
You know, I...
We'll take a timeout and we'll get Tom's answers to those questions next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're going to go global next week.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, you will
opposite
be
opposite ends of the earth.
Yeah, you will be in Hawaii. So I think every week we'll get some sort of surfing story from you in addition to football.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot of football because I come across a lot of football people that are there, and really different types of people. So yeah, it'll all be part of the discussion.
I'll be in Indianapolis for the combine next week, so I'll get an opportunity to talk to both Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. We'll replay some of their important comments from the news conferences that they hold a week from today here on the show, and hopefully we get a chance to interview them as well, and we'll try and get you as up-to-date Bears information as we possibly can.
I think they'll say so much you won't have to interview them.
It'd just be
better if we have some cuts from them to be able to listen to the important points that they bring up.
Yeah, and then we'll have you on to try and explain what they're saying, because they get long-winded. Both of those guys are very smart.
Yes.
All right, so they didn't have the combine at Indianapolis back when you were going through the process. They had three different cities that you had to go through, right?
We had to go to Tampa for one, we had to go to Detroit for one, and we had to go to Seattle for one. For 3 weeks in a row, you had a combine because there was different scouting association that evaluated the talents.
And you go into these meetings. What was the silliest question that you got?
The first one that kind of caught me off guard was, who do I like better, my mom or my dad?
I
didn't like it because I think it was just they want to see your reaction, you know, how to react. And I go, hey, you know, and again, right now my mom and dad are going on their 64th year of marriage. So I kind of stumped me for a second and I said, I'm equal about this. You know, I don't have a preference. And I think all they want to do is see your initial response.
Here, you know how you can relate that to the Bears world this past season? You know, were you a McCown guy? Were you a Cutler guy? You just want your quarterback.
But I think that's all they do is they try to get a psychological read on some of the answers you give or the way you hesitate before you ever answer anything.
The Wunderlich. What's that like? Did you study for it way people study for an SAT?
No. I didn't know much about it because there they say, hey, come into this room and what we're going to do, we're going to give you a certain amount of time. Don't worry about filling out all the answers. Just get as many done as you can. And then you start reading the questions, and then a suspicion creeps in your mind of how am I supposed to answer these? Because I want to answer them correct. I want to answer them correct for them. And am I correct in the way I want to answer them? So, again, there's a lot of suspicion because, again, it's all about you want to impress these guys, in every one of them you want to impress. You want to impress the Pittsburgh Steelers more than the Chicago Bears or these guys more than you want to impress them all.
It worked out well, though.
It did, man. It was an awesome experience, and I loved the combine. I loved preparing for it, getting ready for it, meeting guys like Dave Remington and Don Mosbar and Bruce Matthews and the guys and Dan Marinos and Elways, the guys that I graduated or came out of college with. That draft, man, I was excited to see the guys that I was being drafted with.
Tom, we'll do it again next week with you in Hawaii and me in Indianapolis. For awesome. Herb Lawrence, Joe Ostrowski, our executive producer, Greg Miller, I'm Zach Zaveman saying thank you for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows on at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.